for the fans, by the fans. This is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back with another weekly look at the world of non-league football and the world that some of us are missing so badly. It's a very abbreviated show this week. We've got a round-up with the non-league paper. David Richardson joins us with some breaking news as it happened as we recorded this on Thursday afternoon. And a feel-good story from an old friend of the show, Pat McManus, manager at Brockenhurst FC. Otherwise, there's not a lot going on in the world of non-league football. If you stay tuned to Twitter, to Facebook, to the social channels, you'll see non-league footballers going stir-crazy, looking for things to do and kicking balls against almost every artifact within their homes. All that we hope from the Non-League Football Show is that you all stay safe, you all stay well, and you all stay positive, that when this thing has passed over, we can all get back and enjoy the wonderful game of non-league football that we all love. Until then, we'll keep plodding along and getting some content to you on a weekly basis. Until then, enjoy the show. So a short and sweet version of the Non-League Football Show this week, but I thought it important to report on a story that caught my eye, local to me, old friend of the show, Pat McManus, manager at Brockenhurst FC in the Wessex League. We're hearing lots about Premier League footballers, whether they should give a percentage of their wages to charity and help the government and that sort of thing. The Brockenhurst players, which they live on expenses, they're not the high paid Premier League players. They've given their expenses back to the football club. And I'm pleased to say that Pat McManus joins us on the phone. Pat, I don't think it was something that surprised you, really, was it?
Not entirely, Tim. To be honest, it came to the end of the month. Obviously, we stopped sort of halfway through. Obviously, we've instructed. The league finished halfway through. It came towards the end of the month when I send all the figures over to the chap who does our finance, and I literally on the group chat I said, look, it's that time of the month where I send all the figures over. There's been no, revenue from football, no future revenue. The social club is closed. As a group, would you like to make some sort of gesture? So I put it out there. And I expected, to be perfectly honest, I expected a gesture back, whether it's a percentage. And it very quickly came back. They were as unanimous, 100%, give it all back. And nobody... Yeah, and it was unanimous, and I waited, and I'll be perfectly frank, it would have needed 100% for everyone on board, because I wouldn't have, I wouldn't have okayed for some to have some and some have none, and it would have needed to be. If they wanted to do 100%, it would have had to be 100% across the board. But that's how they came back, and. It wasn't until I read in the paper that, via our captain, Will Tickle, that, they had a sort of offline brief discussion where it was 100% unanimous and it didn't take long. It's all perfect agreement. So, no, it didn't shock me that there was a gesture, but for them to come back with 100%, just give it all back. Was incredibly generous based on their own personal circumstances. Some of what I know, some of them are students, some of them, were self-employed, some of them, at that point didn't know whether they were being furloughed or not. So that was an incredible gesture. And don't get me wrong, we're not talking, we work with a very low budget, so we're not talking bundles and bundles of money, but it's enough to make a difference to a football club.
I think that's the important thing. It is the difference that it makes. As you say, that some of these lads, they're probably as affected, if not more than some of the other headline makers in the football world. But it seems it was the obvious answer for them as well. And you touched upon it there that I know Brockenhurst is a community club, isn't it? You rely on the income from the social club and the other things that go on around the club to just keep the doors open. So the club is one of these that, which is suffering, I would imagine, you know, probably more than most, because it's not the gate receipts that keep you going along. It's the other aspects of the club which you can't do at the moment.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we're no different to any other club. There's going to be some bumps in the road now between now and when eventually we do get going. But you know, I went to the last physical committee meeting. Our housekeeping is very good. To be fair, we looked at the numbers, so we're in pretty good shape. The downside for us is that obviously our summer event has been cancelled, Brockstock, which is big for us. It sets us in very good stead for the following season. That's been cancelled. Obviously, all the campsites are closed in the New Forest, which attracts people into Brockstock. So that's massive for us. So we've got to recover from that in some way, shape or form going forward. But, you know, based on the bigger picture nationally, it's there are bigger things going on than our football club. That's big to us. But with their hurdles, we're going to have to get over it at a later date. But more importantly for us is that everyone's sort of staying fit and well and safe and looking after themselves, and we'll jump over these hurdles when we're in a position to do so. But at the moment, you know, we're in good shape. The gesture from the players helps. We've had some really good supporter gestures. We had, I put online yesterday, one of our supporters, I think we had 12 games left with him, and he, without telling us until we'd done it, he deposited 12 games worth of admission into our bank account, including the away games. He did that yesterday without telling us until he'd actually done it. So, with little gestures like that, which are massive to us, just for supporters doing that without unwarranted, they just get off the back of, just because they're so engaged with us, and in the same way the players are, and it's massive for us, and it's really, really appreciated.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, yeah, the bigger picture, nationally, beyond football, it puts everything else into perspective. We're speaking, an hour or so after the FA have ratified or announced the ratification of the decision to null and void last season. It wasn't a bad season for you, but wasn't the greatest of seasons in the Wessex League. But I guess the fact that you've got these players, you've got these supporters around, you've got a club that's in that's working together and moving forward, you've got to be fairly positive that the club can start making great strides when the season gets underway for the next time around.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, like I said, we're in good shape in general as a football club and as an entity. So we're looking forward to getting going. We were quite fortunate. You know, I feel desperately sorry for all these clubs that this has affected. We wouldn't have been affected at all by null and void or PPG in any way, shape or form. Personally, I think null and void is the way to go, and I think it's the most, although it feels desperately unfair to some clubs, I think personally it's the fairest way to go. We could have been affected because we were actually involved in a cup competition, the Bournemouth Senior Cup, that was started and completed, and we won it. And we didn't find out until a week ago that's staying in the record books, because it's not governed between steps 3 to 7. It's governed by the Bournemouth FA. We only found out a week ago that that's staying within the records, and obviously we've been presented with that trophy already, and that's the first piece of silverware that Brockenhurst have won for 50 years. But until a week ago, that could have been taken away from us. But that's not the case, so we're quite lucky on that front. But I feel desperately sorry for these teams that were in a position more so for the ones that were mathematically promoted, it must feel terrible for them at this point. But once again, you know, if you look at nationally, there's, you know, there's bigger things going on, really. And I think given time and upon reflection, you know, we'll sort of go again, won't we, and sort of recover and address it next season.
Indeed. And yeah, we don't know when next season's going to be. And because the season's null and void now, we're going to potentially... But we don't know what sort of length of pre-season we're going to have. Is it going to be, you know, are we going to start the season at the normal time? When a player's going to be able to get back up and running together? How are you organising your lads as a manager now? Because I guess you'll be looking to retain as many as possible and move those forwards into a pre-season and next season going forward from there.
Yeah, well, I think at this point it's quite difficult to plan. So I think we've just got to sit at this point and just, you know, I've seen plenty of videos from our players that are taking care of themselves. We're quite lucky on that front. I know plenty of them are getting stir crazy and they've just realised how much their lives revolve around football, how much they love it, and which makes me laugh, really, because I spend, and I'm sure many other managers do, convincing players to turn up to training and why are you late, this, that and the other, and then all of a sudden, you know, over the past 3 weeks they're all desperate to play, which is rather ironic. But yeah, I think we're probably going to have to sit around for maybe 2 or 3 weeks before we can make any sort of hard and fast plans about what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. But listen, we're all going to be fine, you know. I think there's a lot of catastrophizing going on about when's it going to start, at what competitions are going to overlap, and I think we've just got to sit tight, take a breath, and just cope with whatever's, you know, in our way when we eventually get going. And I think for the ones of us who come out of the other side, this will be at some point a distant memory, and we've just got to be thankful that that's all the memories we've got from this, because there are going to be people with, you know, this is going to be a horrific period for very different reasons. And we should, you know, count ourselves lucky, really.
And I guess for you, this is probably the first Easter you can remember where you're not going to be rushing about and wondering who's going to call in sick or be injured ahead of a busy Easter campaign.
To be honest with you, Tim, you know, my staff furloughed at work. I've been sat around for over a week myself, and been playing board games. My son's got, you know, I've been playing games consoles, and so I'm running out of things to do myself. So I can't wait for it all to get going again. Really, and my phone just started ringing again. Usually, my phone's ringing off the hook, and this is probably this is the second phone call I've had all day. So I can't wait.
Oh no! Well, I'm pleased. I'm pleased I gave you a call, Pat, because it's a great story, a great club, and in the current climate, we like to have some good news. So we hope you look after yourself, look after the players, look after the fans, look after everybody involved in the club, and wish you best of luck whenever the season gets back underway. Thanks for joining us on the Non-League Football Show, Pat.
Thanks very much. Take care yourself. Cheers.
So a slightly shorter show this week, but time to head on over to virtual non-league paper towers. And it's a welcome back to the Non-League Football Show, where senior writer at the Non-League Paper, David Richardson. Welcome back, David.
Hi, Jim. Thanks for having me on. Hope you're well.
All keeping well here. And it's always good to have you back on. Not much news this week, but the news breaking Thursday afternoon was really the news that we were all expecting. The ratification by the FA Council of the season being voided at steps 3 and below.
Yeah, that's right. Obviously, the decision was made, I think it was last week, wasn't it? With clubs. Obviously, it still had the process of going through FA Council, which just to confirm the decision. And like you say, that went through today. I don't think it's a great surprise, really, that it wasn't U-turned at this point. I think generally the FA always get backing on these decisions, and that proved once more in this case. Not a surprise, really. I think
no,
clubs will still have their complaints, won't they? But I think, you know, it does sort of somewhat bring an end to this sort of saga over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, there'll be plenty of people saying it's the wrong decision, or it was done the wrong way, and the FA are still behind the times, out of touch, and that sort of thing. I mean, one thing we have to remind people is that this decision was taken over virtual technology as well. So those people throwing accusations at the FA that they're behind the times, they have brought themselves up to the modern era to get this decision made, and I think. Yeah, made quickly enough that clubs at least know where they're going now.
Yeah, I think that is the general consensus of the decision. Lawrence Jones, who's the head of the National League system, has written in quite some detail in the statement sort of about how the process happened and sort of how they came to the decision, really, and sort of outlined some points on ending the season, and also that the decision whether to go points per game or expunging results is also explained. Like I say, it sort of brought an end to this. Whether clubs will continue with the legal action they were threatening remains to be seen. Hopefully we'll have a little bit more insight on that in Sunday's paper. But for now, it seems like that's sort of the curtains come down on that, really.
Yeah, and as you say, people can read that statement from the FA on their website, on your website. I'm sure it'll be in the paper on Sunday, and on social media as well. But it was, again, refreshing to see that there was some sense of reasoning. It wasn't just a decision that was put there. There was proper thought process there. The quote from Lawrence, and I think from Kelly Simmons as well, just trying to show that the human face of the FA, because they will get pilloried, they will get criticised, but again, it's a difficult situation, it's an unprecedented situation, and they're only human trying to make a decision that helps everybody.
Yeah, that's right. I think having an explanation there definitely helps. People will still disagree with, what's written now, I'm sure, but, personally, I like seeing that. I like sort of seeing a proper statement like that that's been put out. I think maybe there could be more communication in the future, and hopefully there'll be more like that, particularly regarding the National League's decision that will be coming in the next week or so, with clubs having a big hand in coming to that decision. I like to see sort of an explanation like that. And like I said, whilst people might not agree with it, at least it does put forward some sort of perspective on how it came about.
Yeah, as I always say to everybody that works with me, you don't have to agree with me, you just have to be able to reason why you don't agree with me. And I think that's a good sign, and maybe that's a good sign for the future of football. I mean, you touched on it there, that we still... it still is the National League. It's still undecided as we record this. And suggestions are that the clubs themselves are going to have a final decision in how that season will play out. Obviously, since we last spoke, last Friday evening, I think it was, that the Premier League did bring some good news to the National League with the news that the solidarity payments for next season at that level are going to be brought forward, which I guess should help clubs with their cash flow issues. But it's a difficult one for the clubs, because they've got to be voting. If they are going to vote on this at National League level, they've got to be voting with their own club in mind, but also the wider benefits of football as well.
Yeah, that's right. Firstly, on the Premier League money, like you said, it will help. I believe it's £58,000 for Set 1 clubs, and just under £14,000 for North and South clubs. But obviously, this money was expected anyway. Like I say, it was brought forward, so in the short term, it will help, and it shouldn't be sniffed at. But I think ultimately, the Premier League and the government do need to do more to help non-league clubs. On the decision as to what will happen with the season, I believe clubs are going to be sent out a voting form in the next sort of 24 hours, which they will then have to obviously return to the National League, and that will be the same with North and South as well. That's sort of a little bit of a developing story at the moment. There's not sort of too much to add to that really, but I think that's the sort of latest on the National League's point of view.
Yeah, and so that's still undecided, but there's we normally talk week in, week out, the managerial merry-go-round, and interesting, that's still in action, even if nobody else is in action in the football world. The managerial merry-go-round seems to be almost a full pelt. In the last 24 hours, recording this on Thursday evening, we've seen big local news to me. Glenn Howes making his move just locally, one step up from Blackfield and Langley to AFC Totten. He's done well at Blackfield and perhaps just looking for a bigger club with bigger ambitions. And we know AFC Totten have held bigger ambitions for a long time.
Yeah, obviously, like you said, it's sort of interesting when you sort of see manager changes it at this sort of time, obviously the sort of the future quite unknown really. But interesting that he stepped up a division there. Obviously he got his chance, having an impressive backfield. So we look forward to seeing how he gets on it at step three with Tottenham. Like you say, obviously a club that's wanting to progress and have been showing their ambitions, and that's looks like another step in the right direction.
And talking of steps in a different direction, at Ashfield Town, Middlesex, Russell Canterton, the manager there, is what we call a stalwart as a player. He's part of the furniture at Ashfield Middlesex, but he moved away from the managerial hot seat and made a step upstairs into the board. And they've replaced very quickly Luke Tufts, who's had some great success lower down at Knapp Hill.
Yeah, that's right. He's been doing a good job with Knapp Hill and the combined counties this season. And also, I think people might remember him from being at Hartley Whitney sort of during their rise in recent seasons as a coach. Recently at Knapp Hill, he's been doing well. And now, another manager stepping up a division. Like you say, with Russell Canterton moving on, it will be a bit of a sort of change for the club, I imagine, but I think they've got a really good sort of upcoming young manager in Luke Tufts. Always good to see clubs recognising talent, even if it is in a division lower down in the pyramid than them. But good to see he's got a chance there to prove himself at step four.
Yeah, and one other big move. There's been a few others around. Stafford Rangers had one of these joint manager situations, but Alex Meacham's left, and his fellow joint manager Alex Fern, I believe, has gone to a director of football position, which leaves a managerial vacancy as we're talking at the moment. I guess that the way the world is at the moment, no one really knows where we're heading. It's tough. Decisions that people are making as well as clubs at the moment. Normally at this time of year we're discussing whether clubs have been too tough on their managers making decisions, and at the moment it looks like it's the players and the managers that are making the decisions, the tough ones, and deciding where their football future or even their future beyond football lies.
Yeah, it's interesting talking to managers at the moment really, and sort of asking them how they're looking at preparing for next season, in the sense that they don't quite know how it's going to work. That goes right down to sort of even pre-season preparations of organising friendlies, organising when sort of the first week of training will be. It's sort of an odd time, but I guess everyone's in the same boat really as to not knowing. I think managers can sort of do their bit in maybe sounding out some of their current squad and seeing what they would like to keep over for whenever football does return. And as for players, I guess they just sort of have to try and keep themselves ticking over. I know a lot of them have sort of created some sort of home gyms or have been going out for runs and things like that, which obviously is a little bit different to actually running around and kicking a football. But I suppose that's all you can do really at the moment. So yeah, tricky sort of time for non-league football and for clubs. But I'm sure they'll find a way to get through it.
And talking of tricky times, it's not the easiest times to report on non-league football at the moment. Yeah, we've reduced our show, and obviously you haven't got the bumper reports this Easter weekend that you would be expecting to report on. So what can we expect to read in this weekend's paper, David?
Yeah, so we'll have a reaction, obviously, to the confirmation of steps 3 to 7 being cancelled for this season, and obviously made null and void. So we'll have all of the fallout, I guess, from that, and see what people are saying. Matt Badcock's written a nice piece with Fraser Franks, who obviously is a non-league graduate. He went on to Newport County, but sadly had to retire from the game at age just 28 because of a heart condition. Catching up with him to see what he's up to now. Jeff Stelling, who most people know from Soccer Saturday, the anchor man there, he does a great job on a Saturday afternoon on Sky. He obviously has a role at Hartlepool as well as their club president. Also a shareholder there, he gives his thoughts on the latest goings on in non-league. Chris Dunlavy writes his latest column. We've got another one from Steve Hill as well. Chester Fanatic writes his thoughts on the current situation without football. Paul Carden relives some of his old stories. We've got a piece of Nathan Tyson at Chesterfield as well. And there's loads more. I could go on, but
there's plenty there. I know we're all on lockdown and it's Easter weekend, but I mean that's going to take us probably until Monday afternoon to finish reading that. Certainly worth looking out for. Just a reminder to people, if you can't get the non-league paper on Sunday because you're in lockdown, can't get to your local news agents and that it is available on a digital subscription. Have a look at, online via social media and the non-league paper website and find out more. David, thanks for joining us again on the Non-League Football Show. Look after yourself and speak soon.
Thanks very much, Tim. Cheers.
Well, that's it for this week. Thanks to our guests, and thank you, of course, for listening and staying with us and tuning in. And don't forget, you can get in contact throughout the week, throughout the season, via social media at Non-League Show. Dave Anderson's at Dave Anderson 78. Caroline Barker's at Caroline Barker. Myself at Tim Fuel. If you've got a story of how you're getting through the current lockdown situation, or how your club or rallying around in the community, doing something different, then please do get in contact with us. Plus, of course, you can listen to the show's archive of past shows on Audio Boom, also available on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, via your smart speakers. Get that Alexa app working for you, and all good podcast aggregation sites. Take a look there also for the non-league gaffer takes, which we will hopefully bring to you again very soon. But it is important that Dave Anderson's able to eyeball the managers that he brings to justice in the non-league gaffer takes. But have a listen to the archive there, and I'm sure there's plenty to keep you entertained. Take good care of yourself, people.
JIBBA JABBA Production. JIBBA JABBA